If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In this quiet place with you, I bow before your throne. I bear the deepest part of me to you and you alone. I keep no secret, for there is no thought you have not known. I bring my best and all the rest to you and lay them down. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I'll serve you only with all my heart. You faithful supply my needs according to your plan. So help me, Lord, to seek your face before I seek your hand, and trust you know what's best for me when I don't understand. Then follow in obedience in every circumstance. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I'll serve you only with all my heart. All that
wonderful. Thank you, Liz, for that song. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. We're at church, we need to use the Bible. And so John chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 5. All right? Everybody follow with me there? John chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter number 5. God bless you. Thank you, visitors, for being here. And members of Trinity Baptist Church, thank you for being faithful to the house of God. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. John chapter 1, we're going to read a verse in John 1, a verse in Ephesians 4, a verse in 1 Peter chapter number 5. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word... That word it's talking about, when you go back up to verse number 1, you'll find out that that word he's talking about is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word is Jesus Christ. So he says, and the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Here's what I want you to underline now. Full of grace and truth. It didn't say that he was half full. He said he was full, complete. All of it emanates from him, full of grace and truth. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Ephesians 4 and verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given, does your Bible say grace? Okay, it says, to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of, does your Bible say Christ? Okay, we're still on track now because the Word is full of grace and truth, and it says that grace is given to everyone according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. Underline this first phrase if you believe in writing in your Bible. But the God of all grace. It sounds to me like that grace, God is not only full of grace, but He has all grace comes from Him. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that He has suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Did you notice the last words there? It says that He may make you perfect, mature you, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know what the context and the subject of this verse is? Grace. It's grace that brings strength. It's grace that establishes. It's grace that settles me. You know the reason I am confident today that I'm saved? Because of the grace of God. That's what makes me confident today. You don't turn there, but Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. Listen to this now. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, listen to me now, hath appeared to how many men? All men. So whatever this grace is, Jesus is full of grace. And then it says all grace is of God. And then He says that this grace that is full in Jesus and that is all of God has appeared to all men. All men. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 5, don't turn there. Remember, that's the chapter where it says there's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time for everything under and a season for everything under the sun. Did you know one of the statements that it says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 5? It says there's a time to embrace. So here's what I want to take today. I want to take that verse out of Ecclesiastes 3:5, and I want to use the word embrace, and I want to use the word grace, and I want to preach to you, embrace His grace. You say, preacher, what is that word embrace? Well, what do you think about when you think about embracing something? And then we'll look at that in just a moment. Father, bless our time together this morning. We pray open hearts, open spirits this morning, we pray, to the teaching and preaching of Your Word. We'll give all the glory to Jesus, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. I simply ask you this morning, what do you think when you think of the word embrace? Well, the word embrace means to seize eagerly. It means to willfully take something that is offered. Listen to me. It means to enclose in the arms. That's what the word embrace means. You say, oh, preacher, I need a visual, okay? How many of you have ever been to the airport and you're standing there either waiting for someone or waiting to get on a plane and people begin to exit the plane, or maybe now you have to be at the baggage area, I guess, and as people walk through that door, you hear people go, oh, oh. Am I right? And you know what they do? They embrace. They enclose in the arms. Why? Because that person, either they haven't seen them in a while, or that person is special to them. They're precious to them. I've seen it happen 100 times. You know where else I see it? I see it at weddings. People embrace. I see it at funerals. People embrace. One of the most heart-wrenching embraces that you'll ever see is when our military men get ready to be shipped off. You ever seen that embrace? When they get ready to be shipped off, maybe never to return. And I've seen as they've embraced tightly, enclosed in the arms, seized that which is offered eagerly. And they embrace, and I've seen them sob and shake as they've held each other. Listen to me. What I'm saying to you this morning is that's what God wants us to do with grace. He wants us to embrace it. He wants us to enclose it in our arms. You see, to embrace something is to seize it and enclose it in the arms. You see, it's to willingly take that which is offered. You see, our scriptures today, I believe, clearly reveals that there is something of great value that's being offered to mankind. Would you agree with me? There's something being offered to mankind, and it's there for the taking if we want it. It's already been provided. We found out that the person that it's provided through is Jesus Christ. And God says grace has been provided. He says, I want you to embrace it now. It's been offered. It's readily available. There is no work involved. There is no fee to be collected. There's no paperwork to fill out. There's no politicking to be done. There's no debating over the matter. Just take it. Receive it. Embrace it. Hey, let me say something to you. These people at the airport, when their loved one gets off, somebody don't have to provoke them to go embrace them. They see it, they realize it's them, and you know what? They embrace them because they love them. They embrace them because they're special to them. You see, it's just a simple decision of the will. It's just being willing to embrace that which God has offered, and it's ready, available for all today. You say, okay, preacher, you told us what that word embrace means. It means enclose in the arms. It means to seize eagerly. You say, what is that grace that we're to embrace, preacher? It's that undeserved love and favor of God. You see, there's not a person in this room that deserves the love of God. There's not a person in this room that deserves the favor of God or the goodness of God's will or the kindness of God. May I say to you today, and I want you to listen carefully, God is not forced to extend grace. He chooses to extend grace. Nobody's forcing Him to make this readily available. He chooses to make that available to you and to I. You see, the grace of God is available, listen to me, to all, and it is for all. It's to all, and it is for all. You see, God really does love you, listen, and wants you back to Himself. He wants you back for Himself. He wants you back for fellowship. Listen to me, if you're here this morning and don't know Christ, He wants to spend forever with you. He wants you to be with Him. So you know what you're going to have to do? He said, embrace the grace. Embrace what's offered to you. Listen to me. God allowed you to be born. And what He did is He attached a perfect will and design to your life. You know what's attached to that perfect will? Unlimited, unmerited grace. Listen, you didn't choose this process. God chose it. You say, well, preacher, why would God choose grace to be extended to anyone and for all? Listen to me, because some of us would think, well, that's not fair. How do you mean? Somebody that doesn't even care for God or doesn't even come to church, why would He be willing to extend grace to them? Why would He be willing to care for them or show them any favor whatsoever? Because He loves them and He wants them to be saved. He wants a relationship with them. You say, well, that's, preacher, is that really fair if someone is extended grace that maybe lives like an animal or turns their back on God? Well, may I say to you, God's not into being fair. God's into being just. You hear me? You see, it's man that always gripes about, well, that ain't fair. How about, let's decide, well, that ain't just. But God is a just God. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God knows our depraved flesh. You say, well, how does He know that? Well, He was there in the Garden of Eden. He was there when mankind fell into sin. But you know what was extended to Adam and Eve? Grace. Grace. Why? Because it appeared to them and they accepted it. They embraced His grace. You see, God knows our depraved flesh. He realizes that we are but dust of the ground. When are we going to realize that we're but dust? There's nothing perfect about me other than Jesus Christ in me. That's it. This old flesh is depraved. God realizes that we're but dust of the ground. Oh, can I say this? God also understands that Satan hates mankind. He realizes that Satan hates you and he hates me and he wants to engulf your life and destroy your life. May I say also to you that God is totally aware that the carnal about the carnal world and our wicked surroundings. He didn't wake up today and said, "Oh my goodness, here's old so-and-so. Look at what their situation is in life." No, he understands what those surroundings are. And it's because of his knowledge of all these things, of our depravity, of Satan. He realizes we're but dust of the ground. He understands our carnal surroundings. And you know what we need in all this? Grace. Grace. That's the reason he said, it's there. Embrace it. Embrace it this morning. Now, let me make a statement here and I'll move on. What God wants you to do is embrace his grace. Listen to me, not erase his grace. He wants you to embrace it. He wants you to enclose it in arms, not kick it to the side and get it out of your life. He wants you to embrace it, not erase it. Now, with that said, here's a couple of things I want you to think about this morning. Here's the message in a nutshell, all right? Listen very carefully. You cannot reach a place in this life where grace cannot reach you. You cannot reach a place in this life where grace cannot reach you. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 139. Go to Psalm chapter 139. Let me show you something here. Okay, Psalm chapter 139. All right, Psalm 139. Look here, if you would, in verse number 7. Psalm 139 in verse number 7. The psalmist says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" He said, is there a place in life that I can go, Lord, where you cannot reach me? He said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" He says, if I ascend up into heaven, what does your Bible say right there? Does it say thou art there? He says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Now listen, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. The psalmist says there's no place in this life where you can go where grace cannot find you. Nowhere. There's no place where you can go in this life where grace cannot reach you. You say, but preacher, things are so bad. Well, let me say this to you. If you cannot go to a place or find a place in this life where grace cannot reach you, then there are several things we can deduct here. First of all, that means there is no sin that grace cannot overcome then. Are you with me? That means there is no sin that grace cannot overcome. You say, but no little buts about it. Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. Listen to me. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That means there's no sin in this life, no place you can ever get to in sin where grace cannot find you or reach you. It's available to all. You see, man is the one who tends to categorize sin. Amen right there. Amen? Hey, it's not God's man that categorizes sin and judges people based on his centimeter. Right? Am I following? Are you with me? Yeah, it's man that walks around with this sin-o-meter and judges people based on the significance or how bad certain things is. And you know what? Then they determine whether you are eligible for the grace of God. Come on now, talk to me. We're all guilty of it. We all have taken our little centimeter and judged somebody based on the seriousness of their sin and wonder, Lord, why are you extending grace to them? I don't understand. Why are you even helping them? Look at them. Wait a minute now. Hold on. Some of us were in that situation at one time. Some of us were in that particular state of life one time. There is no sin that grace cannot overcome. May I remind you that grace overcame the sin of Adam? Are you with me? And he was in a perfect environment and still fell prey to sin. And you know what? Grace overcame it. May I say also to you that grace overcame the sin of Moses. And listen, there was a lot of things that Moses did. Let me just draw one to your attention because it'll get your attention to show you how wonderful and how powerful grace is. Remember Moses, about 40 years of age or so, remember, took off. And the reason he took off to the backside and went to the wilderness The reason he took off is because he was second in command over all of Egypt at one time. But he stood out there one day and he saw an Egyptian, and he saw in that situation right there, he saw a Hebrew being abused there, and so he jumped down and he took the life of that individual. You say, what did he do? It's called murder, folks. You say, well, was Moses justified? No, he wasn't. He was wrong. He killed a man. You say, well, he ought to burn in hell then. Well, careful now. Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. And may I remind you that now take you forward to the New Testament in Matthew 17, where Jesus is transfigured before the disciples there, Peter, James, and John, and there appearing with him in glory is Jesus, Elijah, and, talk to me now, You know why he's in heaven? Because grace abounded more than his sin. You see, there is no sin that grace cannot overcome. It overcame murder. It overcame the sin of Adam. Listen to me. It overcame the immorality of David. Yeah, it overcame the immorality of David. And listen, most of you would say, David, that wicked rascal. Well, I got some news for you. If you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. You call him whatever you want to, but he's going to be in heaven. Everybody agree with me that David is probably all the people in the Bible, probably top five. Yeah, outside of Jesus, yeah, he's probably top five in the Bible. So you're going to spend it. You know what? He was immoral. Oh, by the way, did I also say he was also guilty of murder? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what made the difference between Adam and the difference between Moses and the difference between David and most of us today? They chose to embrace the grace. That's what they did. They enclosed it in their arms. They embraced it. Why? Because it was ready available. You see, there is no sin that grace cannot overcome. May I say to you, listen to me, there is no situation that grace cannot overcome. There is no sin that grace cannot overcome. You have never faced any situation that grace cannot overcome your situation. How many times do you hear people say, well, you just don't understand my situation. You just don't understand what I'm going through. I may not, but God does. And may I say to you this morning that there's grace that is available for you. There is that love, there is that favor, there is that kindness and comfort of God that's available to you if you'll just embrace it. Just embrace it. Enclose it into your arms. You see, there is no situation that grace cannot overcome. Let me give you an Old Testament example. Everybody remember Samson? Yeah, now listen, if I put it in common day vernacular today, most of us would consider Samson a scalawag. Am I right? Disobeyed his parents, ignored their advice, or ignored God's advice, hooked up with people in the world that he shouldn't have hooked up with. Now, wait a minute now. You say, that's right. God ought to judge him. God ought to take care of him. God didn't have to. His sin did. His sin took care of him. But listen to me now. Listen, are you with me? No situation that grace can't overcome. Let me reel you forward now, and let's find Samson now tied between two pillars. Are you with me? He's now tied between two pillars, and thousands of the Philistines were mocking him and praising their false god for delivering Samson into their hands. Samson, a lot of problems. But you know what he does? He's there between those two pillars. And you know what he does? He calls on God. He said, Lord, you know, I probably hadn't been the best testimony. I probably haven't been the best follower that I need to be. But he said, today, would you avenge my two eyes? Listen to me. Let me put it down where we can get it now. You know what he said? Lord, would you just do it one more time? Would you just extend that grace that I've tasted of one more time today? And let me tell you something. God said, I believe I'll do it. Why? Because where his sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's not a situation that grace cannot overcome. And you know what Samson did? He pulled the pillars down out from underneath that temple. And the Bible said he killed more in the day of his death than he did his entire lifetime. He pulled them out. Who was behind that? God was. You say, he didn't deserve it, and neither do we. I'm just here to tell you that you cannot reach a place in life where grace cannot reach you. There's no sin that grace cannot overcome. There's no situation that grace cannot come. Oh, let me just give you two quick illustrations. We'll move on. Remember in Acts chapter 9, remember a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus? You told him about scumbait. He was responsible for imprisoning believers. Now, he may not have killed anybody with his hands, but he ordered people killed. And you know who it was that he ordered killed? Christians. People that followed Jesus. You said, man, that guy's sorry. Well, he's on his way to Damascus one day with orders in his hands. He was on his way with orders in his hands to arrest Christians and have Christians killed. And you know what found him? He thought he was in a place where grace could not reach him. But you know what he found that day? He found that on that road to Damascus, grace found him. And there knocked him down right on his face. And you know what? He knew it was the grace of God. And he embraced it because when he was on his face, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yeah. Yeah. He thought he was in a place where grace couldn't find him, but it found him. Because there's not a place that you can ever reach in this life where grace cannot find you. You say, well, what if it's the last minute, preacher? I'm glad you asked because I'm going to give you one more illustration that illustrates what we're talking about. Let me take you to Calvary now. Jesus and crucified between two thieves. Both of them originally railed on him, am I right? They both originally, and finally one thought, man, what am I doing? If this is the Messiah, what am I doing? And so he thought, man, I don't care what that other guy does. He looked to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, wait a minute, he's a thief. He lived his life for self, destroyed his life. He's within hours of dying. And you say, nah, God ain't going to save anybody like that. I beg to differ with you. Because Jesus looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what that old boy did? He didn't have but a few hours left. He embraced the grace of God. And may I say to you tonight, or this morning, there's no sin that grace cannot overcome. There is no situation that grace cannot overcome. May I say to you, number three, there is no sorrow that grace cannot overcome. No sorrow that grace cannot overcome. May I remind you of Jairus? Remember, Jairus came to Jesus and his daughter had passed away. You know what? He was very sorrowful. Why? He just lost his daughter. Jesus went to their home. Says, oh, the child, she's just asleep. And you know what they did? They laughed into scorn. Why? They didn't embrace grace. And so what happened is Jesus went in there to that daughter and he raised her from the dead, gave her back to mama, and gave her back to daddy. Let me tell you something. You think mom and daddy didn't embrace some grace that day? You better believe they did. Why? Because there's no sorrow that grace cannot overcome. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you have had a tragedy in life. Maybe you have been abused in life. Maybe you've had a marriage go bad, or children go bad, or maybe you've had to file bankruptcy, or your home burned, or maybe you've got news, you've got some terminal illness. Listen to me today. There is no sorrow that grace cannot overcome. Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it? Because the Scripture says all grace is of God. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You know what that means? There's not a person in here that God hadn't revealed that to you. But we got a lot of people that hadn't embraced it yet. That hadn't embraced it. I said, first of all, you cannot reach a place in this life where grace cannot reach you. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to say number 2. You may resist grace, listen to me, but grace will never resist you. You may resist grace, but grace will never resist you. Turn, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, I said we all, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and may I say, even when we resisted his grace over and over and over, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then notice this, for by grace are you saved. You see, the thing about it is there's a bunch of us in here that didn't get saved later in life. And let me tell you something, you know what we did? We resisted grace. We resisted it and resisted it. But may I say to you that you may resist grace, but grace will not resist you. He will not. You see, some, instead of embracing grace, have erased it out of their life. They think they've resisted it for so long, they think that, preacher, I can't be saved because I've resisted it. I've erased it out of my life. And God wouldn't want to save me. Let me tell you something, that's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. He does want to save you. And may I say to you that you may have resisted grace, but if you'll come this morning, grace will not resist you. It will not. You see, people get the idea that if they've resisted and resisted and resisted, that grace will resist them when they come. It's just a lie. You see, some have erased grace because they failed so many times. They failed in life. Many of you may have come to an altar and rededicated your life to Christ only 2 days later to go back on your word. You say, well, God, if I come again today, preacher, God's not going to extend grace to me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Why? Because he's the God of all grace. All grace. And he's willing to extend it and extend it. You say, well, preacher, when is he going to stop when you're like this? Are you with me? Then it's over. No more grace. But as long as you're breathing, the grace of God is available. Yeah, it's available. And some think that they've erased it because they think, well, I've resisted so long, or preacher, I've done so many bad things and I've rededicated over and over again and I just can't seem to get over the hump. Some have erased grace because they believe there's no more available for them. Oh yeah, there's more grace available. You see, just because God extends grace to someone doesn't mean that it diminishes his grace. Yeah, there's still grace available. There's more grace and more grace and more grace. The problem is, embrace it. Come get it. Hey, if God denied us his grace based on the number of times we've resisted it, then we would all be lost and miserable because all of us have resisted it, whether it's sin, whether it's a situation, or whether it's sorrow. And yet God says, I want you to embrace that grace. I said you cannot reach a place in this life where grace cannot reach you. I said you may resist grace, but grace will not resist you. Here's a third thing, and you need to listen real carefully, and this is it. Listen carefully. When you grow in grace, grace will grow in you. Are you with me? I said, when you grow in grace, grace will grow in you. Don't turn there, but you can find your place. You'll find it in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. Peter's signing off. He said, grow in grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in knowledge and grace. That means that God wants us to grow. Whatever this grace is, whatever this love and favor is, God wants us. Once we receive it, once we've embraced it, he says, once you grow in grace, grace will grow in you. Let me put it in connection with our title. When you embrace grace, grace will embrace you. When you embrace the favor and love of God, you know what you'll be able to do for other people? You'll be able to extend grace to them as well. You see, this is the process that God wants us to follow. The more grace we embrace, the more we grow. The more we erase, the more we struggle. You see, you know how you can tell when people embrace the grace of God? According to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, there's a song in their heart. They sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in their heart. That's evident that people have embraced the grace of God. James chapter 4, verse number 6 says, another evidence that a person has embraced the grace of God is their spirit, a humble spirit. Remember he said, he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Yeah, a meek spirit, a humble spirit, not a proud spirit. He said a humble spirit extends more grace. I'll tell you something, another way you can tell that a person's embraced grace, according to Colossians chapter 6 and verse or 4 in verse number 6, their words, they speak kind words seasoned with salt, full of grace. You see, the thing about this reason a person can speak with grace is because they've embraced the grace. That's how you can tell. And may I say also that you can tell whether someone's embraced the grace of God because they have a forgiving heart. According to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. Instead of a judging heart, they have a forgiving heart. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I can forgive. Then you'll never embrace the grace. You never will. But when you embrace it and you realize what God has forgiven you of, when you realize that God has provided grace for you even when you have fallen away from Him and backslidden and came back, you know what was there? Sufficient grace. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. That means when you come, there's enough there for your need. There's enough there to overcome that sin. There's enough there to overcome that situation. There's enough there to overcome that sorrow. You see, listen to me, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm tired of people pointing fingers at everybody else. Why don't the grace of God's available for you? Embrace it and stop accusing everybody. It's there. You say, but this happened to me. Listen, folks. Listen, when are we going to get over that stuff? The grace of God is available. God says, here it is. Embrace it. And you know what I'll do? I'll take care of all that stuff. I'll help you get beyond. I'll help you forgive. No, we like to hold on to the past. Let me finish this up and say this. By you enclosing grace in your arms, which allows you to grow when the grace of God begins to manifest itself through your life toward others, you'll not be so quick to condemn or judge or criticize or cast aside when you embrace the grace, because you'll see what God's done for you. You know what God wants you to do this morning? He wants you to embrace the grace that's provided for salvation. He wants you to embrace the grace this morning that's provided for your situation, for your sorrow, for your sin this morning. You will determine at invitation whether you're going to embrace that grace or not. God said if you'll do it, it's available. And may I remind you that when you see our military guys getting ready to leave, and you see them getting ready to step on a ship or step on an airplane and go off for a year or 2 years, not knowing, that family not knowing whether they're coming back or not. Boy, let me tell you something. You're talking about a sweet, precious embrace. There is an embrace and enclosing in the arms. Why? Because that person is dear to them. And I'm here to tell you that God has a wonderful gift for you this morning. It's called grace. That's up to you and I to embrace it or not. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? How many can say this morning, say, preacher, I'm a Christian. No question about it. If I died today, heaven's my home. Won't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. No question about it. I'm a born-again believer. No question. If I died today, heaven's my home. Heaven's my home. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I want to conclude today this message by simply asking you to do something miraculous in hearts. There are many here today, Lord, that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never had a personal born-again experience with Jesus. My prayer is that today that they would come. My prayer is that today that they would come and embrace the grace provided by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some need to embrace grace for salvation. Some need to come this morning and embrace the grace of God that has already overcome their sin. Some today, Lord, will need to come and embrace the grace of God because of their situation, and then maybe they haven't been able to get beyond it, and there's grace available to deliver them. And some today, Lord, are in deep sorrow, hurts, all the pain that's been locked inside, and yet there's grace sufficient for them as well. Because, Lord, there is no place that we can go in this life where grace cannot reach us. Lord, there is no place on this earth that we can go and run from the grace of God. It will find us. And though many here today may have resisted grace, if they'll come, grace will not resist them. And then many of us as believers, Lord, we need to grow in grace. And when we do, grace will grow in us. Would you have your way in this invitation time? Bless it, I pray. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Some of you, when I asked to raise your hand a while ago, if you knew that you'd had a born-again experience with Christ, some of you could not raise your hand. But I believe you want to go to heaven. I believe if something happened to you and you died, you want to make sure that heaven is your home. You said, "Preacher, I just don't know that if I died I'd go to heaven, but I want to go. I have some doubt in my heart." How many would let me pray for you this morning? And you'd say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Would you pray for me?" If you're like that this morning, don't be ashamed. We're in church. Listen, God sent you here for a reason and a purpose. If you're here this morning like that and you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven, but I want to. Would you pray with me about that?" I want you to slip your hand up. Slip it up high and just say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you and you and you and you and you. And God bless you." You can put your hands down. God bless you. Who would join these five or six that raise their hand? Say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that I've been born again, but I want to be. I want to be. Would you pray for me? Please pray for me. I want to embrace the grace of salvation today." Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You've already been saved, but you've never been baptized after you got saved. So, "Preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. Pray with me. I know it's the right thing to do in my heart. Would you pray with me about that?" How many say, "Preacher, that's me"? I want you to stick your hand up high. You say, "I've already accepted Christ. I'm a born-again believer, but I've never been baptized." God bless you. You can put your hand down, and God bless you. Who will join these two? Say, "Preacher, I've already had a born-again experience with Christ, but never been baptized after that." Anybody else will join these two. God bless you. There's a third one. Anybody join these three? All right. God bless you. One last thing. How many are here today say, "Preacher, I must admit I've taken the grace of God for granted. And there's been a lot of situations that I've been in. The first thing I do is maybe approach it from the wrong area. Instead of approaching the grace, the throne of grace, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, and there I can find grace to help in time of need. Instead of doing that, preacher, I've been doing other things. Maybe I've complained. Maybe I've worried. Maybe whatever. Instead of embracing the grace." You say, "Preacher, I've taken for granted the grace of God. Would you pray for me?" I want you to slip your hand up high. Say, "That's me. I've taken it for granted. Taking it for granted. Taking it for granted." All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation is yours. Have your way in it now. Please move in such a way. There would be no question that you've done your work. Holy Ghost of God, move in hearts, we pray. And we'll give all the praise and glory to the name of Jesus for the results of what you will do in this invitation today, for I ask it in Christ's name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? As we stand to our feet, I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to play and we begin to sing. Listen to me, if you raised your hand, would you come? If the Holy Ghost of God spoke to you about raising your hand, do you think He might be speaking to you about coming and embracing the grace this morning? Embracing the grace of salvation. Some of you this morning have fallen into sin, or maybe you backslid away from God. I'm here to tell you there's grace sufficient for you. Would you come? Would you come? That grace is sufficient. You come. You come. Maybe your situation that you're in said, "Preacher, it looks absolutely impossible." Let me ask you to come. Let me ask you to come. There's grace ready available for you here. Just come and embrace the grace of God. Whatever your need is, you come. You come. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to come. They're going to continue to sing. Maybe I pray.